Please join me in prayer. O God, wash and anoint us with your word of truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Ruth chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, picking up right where we left off. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in good spirits. He went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed me earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." And he said to, and he also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." And she did so, and he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" And she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to understand how sometimes your ways are scandalous to us, and how your word can scandalize all of us to fulfill your love and grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if this chapter of Ruth were an HBO show, now would be the time that the warning would pop up. The following program is rated TV-14 for adult content. Get ready to be scandalized. In our obsession with morality and perception of uprightness, we forget that God's story is often full of scandalous people who become the clearest example of God's love and God's hesed. It all starts with a risky plan. Naomi, acting on the same impulse from the first chapter, wants her daughter-in-law, Ruth, her future, to be secure and safe. Now, she knows that in this society, the only way for a woman to be secure and safe was through marriage. So somehow she has got to find a husband for Ruth. So Naomi unveils this crazy plan to Ruth in hopes that it will lead Boaz to marry Ruth. Now remember, Boaz was Naomi's dead husband's relative. He was a man of means who in chapter 2 had allowed Ruth to glean, take wheat from his fields, and stay with his workers as she collected wheat for her and Naomi. Now Naomi's plan went something like this. Naomi was to wash and anoint her body with oil, put on her best clothes, then sneak to the threshing floor where Boaz, during Boaz's evening meal. Naomi says, "But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." And after he lies down, Naomi says, "Go, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Now, this is what most people would consider to be an indecent proposal, especially when you start to realize there is innuendo flying all over the place. You're just trying to dodge it in what Naomi's words that she is using in this command. There is innuendo all over the place. Feet was a common euphemism at the time for private parts, sexual organs. But the phrase could be more accurately translated in this book as uncover his lower body. Okay? It is a very suggestive phrase that allows the audience's mind to wander. Two, Naomi uses the verb to know, which obviously, as you all know, had a double meaning at the time. Even the location, the threshing floor, was often associated with intimate trysts at that time, especially if you went in the Old Testament. Scholar Catherine Sankenfeld states that there is never an indication that Naomi is suggesting consummation, yet the choice of words keeps the possibility always before the reader. Naomi wants Ruth to attract Boaz. We know that. And to do it in this scandalizing and secretive way. Now, why would Naomi suggest such an approach? Most likely, Naomi thought that this very risky plan would be Ruth's best opportunity to get Boaz's attention and lead towards marriage. One would imagine that Ruth would have been offended at such a suggestion. This is the part of the story that drives me crazy. There could have been any other number of ways for Boaz, for Naomi or Ruth, to get Boaz's attention, right? As opposed to this plan, which some readers have suggested constitutes entrapment, right? Ruth is the one bearing all the risk in this crazy plan. What if Boaz gets angry? What if he sees this woman at his feet and gets vengeful? Remember, Ruth was a Moabite. She was an immigrant. She had no real rights in Israel. And if Boaz wanted, he could have mistreated her without suffering any consequences. He could have assaulted her, dragged her before the authorities, had her kicked out of town. And as a man of means and privilege in Bethlehem, no one would have questioned Boaz for such a reaction. And you have to imagine that as Ruth is hearing Naomi suggest this wild plan, that she is thinking all of this. But Ruth has this weird, this whole book has this weird way where people respond in ways you would never expect them to respond. After Naomi has laid out the plan for her, Ruth goes, "All that you tell me, I will do." What? No follow-up? No, like, how's this going to work? What are you talking about? Why would you do this to me? All that you tell me, I will do. We have learned much from Ruth up to this point. She's a woman of inner strength. She's a woman who understands her self-worth. And she's also not afraid to protest a plan that she doesn't like, as we have seen in chapter 1. So it might suggest here that Ruth's lack of protest, that she was a willing participant in Naomi's wild plan. Now, either way, the scheme to get Boaz to marry Ruth is supposed to be scandalous. It is intended to scandalize you. Women in the ancient Near East, especially widows, had few options at their disposal, as Naomi says, to secure one's survival. Now, we can judge Naomi, we can judge Ruth, but Ruth's actions were an act of hesed towards Naomi. By securing the future with Boaz, she is securing the future of Naomi. And perhaps, and I think this is why Ruth goes through with this plan, and this is why she puts herself in a vulnerable position, because her main goal was always to show her commitment to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, we should all wonder what social conventions in our time need to be broken at times in order to show hesed to our neighbor. So now the plan is in place. Ruth follows through. She gets pretty. She sneaks onto the threshing room floor. She waits for Boaz to pass out. She uncovers his lower half. She lies down next to him. And the author tells us that something startled Boaz. He wakes up surprised, seeing this woman lying next to him. And we're left to want, imagine Boaz's thoughts at this moment. What happened last night? I don't remember drinking that much. But he doesn't say any of those things. He simply says, "Who are you?" Now, Ruth is flying on her own. You might remember that Naomi did not tell her what to say. Just whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's what she says. And Ruth reminds Boaz that they have a connection, that they have that they are related relative-wise. And asks Boaz to spread his cloak over her. Now, in the ancient Near East, that is essentially her asking for his hand in marriage. This is a true, like, Sadie Hawkins situation here. She's the one asking, "Spread your cloak over me." This is a marriage proposal. And again, we are given an unexpected reaction. Boaz, in the moment, could have been angry, could have been any number of things. But here, his reaction is appreciation. And he recognizes the risky action of as hesed, loving kindness, not just for herself, but for Naomi. And Boaz realizes that she could have sought out a younger man, but didn't. By asking Boaz for Boaz's hand in marriage, she is securing the future for herself and Naomi. Scholar Catherine Sinkenfeld points out, it is an act of loyalty, greater because it provides for long-term security beyond the short-term solution of gleaning. And it also clarifies Ruth's commitment to Naomi from the first chapter, since marriage will make permanent Ruth's bond to Naomi's people and place. In other words, Ruth is following through on Ruth in following through on this plan makes good on her promises in chapter 1. And do y'all remember what those promises were? Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. She is following through on this promise by following through with this plan of Naomi's. Now, this scandalous story reminds us that God's love and purpose can be worked out in some of the most unusual and strange ways. I think as a people, we prefer God's grace to be contained in the moral and righteous ways that we can understand and agree with. Clean and clear. This is how God acts all the time. Boom, boom, boom. Except the Bible tells us that God doesn't really work that way. And God has never really worked that way. And if you read the Old Testament, you start to realize that there's a lot of messed up people who do a lot of messed up stuff and strange stuff. And yet through them, God uses them to show love, hesed, loving kindness to the people around them and the nation of Israel. So this is the challenge to us today. God's love, God's hesed, should be scandalizing your life. It should be pushing you to go above and beyond your normal expectations. God's love should be scandalizing. It should force you to put yourself in vulnerable situations where you are showing love and grace to people who need it. And if it is not scandalizing your morality, your sense of righteousness, that might say more about your small view of God than God itself. Ruth shows us what a risky, vulnerable, hesed, loving kindness looks like. May we all be so bold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.